The Raven. Eddie Poe stared at the blank page in front of him, pen poised. He scribbled down the words, "There once was a girl from Nantucket," and looked at them for far too long before tearing out the sheet and tossing it in the bin beside his desk. It had plenty of company in there. Things were not going well. He scratched his forehead irritably as he regarded the latest blank expanse of paper in his moleskin notebook. It lay open before him, taunting him for his total lack of inspiration. He thought for a moment, pen hovering, before he wrote the words, "Inspiration is..." and then promptly ran out of ideas. That page quickly followed the first into the bin. All around the room, candles flickered in the draft, the source of which he'd never been able to find. He had access to electricity and all other 21st century conveniences, but he preferred to work by candlelight, for Eddie Poe fancied himself a poet and was thus predisposed to pretension. He looked out the window of his house dejectedly. It was a dark, drizzly night, as opposed to one of those bright nights you hear so much about. Manchester's weather was deeply uninspiring. Maybe he should move someplace where the climate had more of a flair for the dramatic. Scandinavia always looked relentlessly bleak on TV. Perhaps somewhere over there. Come to think of it, they actually had bright nights. The sun didn't set for months at a time during the summer, and then stayed set for even longer. God, how could you not be a poet in such a desolate place? Dark days in heaven, bright nights in hell. That could be the title of his collection. It virtually wrote itself. He'd just need to stick his verse in a gothic font, pop it up on Instagram, and he'd be a literary sensation by Christmas. He might get himself a photogenic dog, too. One with a limp, or, ideally, a more interesting disability. Wheels for back legs would be perfect. He'd need to go out every morning and de-ice the poor little bastard so it could go to the bathroom. That, right there, would be the opening paragraph of his profile in the New York Review of Books. Give it 6 months and he wouldn't be able to move for buxom young ladies with a penchant for lace, leather bodices and dramatic makeup choices vying for his affections. Eddie's attention was pulled away from his dreams of living in an igloo with nothing but an epileptic, two-legged husky for company by a tapping on his chamber door. He froze. It might be Mrs. Parnecki looking for the rent. As it happened, Eddie had recently come into some money and cleared all his back rent. However, his landlady was 83 and not tech-savvy. This had initially meant that he could buy himself time by claiming payment had already been sent. But now he'd finally come up with the money, he had no way of convincing her of that until her nephew in Belfast rang to confirm receipt. He didn't have the stomach to go through another long and drawn-out explanation about that right now. He was writing. Why did people keep impinging on his precious writing time? Was it any wonder that he'd been so unproductive recently? There it was again. That tap, tap, tapping on his chamber door. It didn't sound very Parneckian. She may have been a little old lady, but she was surprisingly strong, and being deaf apparently meant she had also lost her sense of touch that informed her she was pounding on someone's door. If it wasn't her, who else could it be? Eddie was a reclusive artist who, at that time, made most of his money by selling poorly rated distressed wood sculptures on Etsy. He was very careful to keep his home address private, having received his one and only return via the medium of it being hurled at his window at 3 a.m, wrapped in a piece of paper bearing a 2-star review. Heaven knows what they'd have done with it had it only merited 1 star. The glass, thankfully, hadn't broken, given that the softness of the